when you guys were looking at Gronkowski, the questions, it seems, were about durability and injuries. But considering he's played pretty much every snap this year and I think last year, is it safe to say the evaluation went pretty well in that regard?
Well, I think we just try to evaluate the players based on the information that we have at our disposal. With a player like Rob or anybody else, I mean, there's multiple examples of players who maybe they miss a season or they get hurt during the middle of their senior season or junior season if they're underclassmen, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, you evaluate the player's skills, what you think the player is when he's on the field. There's certainly a medical component that comes into play. So we try to take all the information we have available and put it all together and then make the decision that we feel is best for us based on the information we have.
You know, coming into the draft 2 years ago, there was a lot of articles written about Brandon Graham and your guy's prototype on the outside, for instance, and then he ended up obviously going a little earlier. Was he a guy you guys were legitimately looking at, and have you had some thoughts on how he's played and the little time that he has?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say he was among a number of players of that position that we evaluated. He was a productive player at Michigan, pretty disruptive. He actually played three technique, played a little bit more on the interior of their defensive line when he was there, but he was disruptive, had a number of tackles for loss. You know, and he started off last season okay. I think he played in 13 games, started six games, and then he was injured there toward the end of the season with a knee injury. But, you know, I think he's worked his way back, and he's playing as a part of their rotation. And realistically, they play eight defensive linemen depending upon who's active for the game, but they pretty much roll them all through. I mean, they have a group that starts the game, but either the second or third series, the next group of guys comes into the game, and he's one of those players along with a number of others. So, you know, I think he's doing the things that they're asking him to do, and, you know, he's been productive when he's been on the field for them.
Nick, this is a little bit lighthearted in nature, but when you make 16 transactions with Ventrone since mid-August, do you sort of keep that contract on your desk, or do you even bother to file it away?
Well, you can't keep the same contract, so we created a little paper trail for ourselves. But, I mean, no, look, I mean, it happens. I mean, I wouldn't say that Ross is the only player. Maybe this is in terms of volume. But, you know, look, any player that's in our program, want to keep working with him in some way, shape, or form, and however it works itself out during that week, I mean, we're just trying to play the game. We're just trying to get through the game with what we have available and based on who's healthy, et cetera. So, you know, it's just part of the process, that's all.
Is it a pretty standard contract, Nick? Some people ask, like, I mean, how does that work? Does he literally have to sign it every time? And is there a long process, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, really, any player that you have on your practice squad, if he's going to be active for a game or you're going to bring him to the roster, you basically have to sign a new contract. So, I mean, each time you go from the practice squad to the active roster, you sign a new contract. Now, if you're on the active roster, I mean, there's really nothing else to do, but when you bring players up, I mean, which a lot of teams do during the year, I mean, they bring them up from their practice squad. I mean, it's, you know, I wouldn't say it's a real extensive process, but, you know, you have to go ahead and sign a new contract.
Nick, when I'm sure you guys evaluated Michael Vick a couple of years ago when he was coming out, so that's correct, right?
You're talking about when he came out in 2001 or when he was a free agent?
No. When he was a free agent before the Eagles. Did you guys look and kind of study him at that point?
I'd say anybody that's a free agent, we know who those players are and who what that market looks like. And
right.
You know, our department is pretty thorough and like kind of keeping track of who's available and making sure that we have an evaluation that's current.
So when you're looking at a guy like that, who's very unconventional and sort of makes plays almost break down on a, you know, on an every down basis, how do you evaluate that? I guess like what's the, the skills are so different from what I think a lot of teams have seen. How do you make sense of what you're seeing?
I wouldn't say the skills are that different. I mean, I think what you really have is a unique athlete just for that position. I mean, he's explosive. He accelerates. He's got good speed. But just in terms of throwing the football, I mean, probably too many quarterbacks that have a stronger arm than Michael Vick in the league, and they keep him in a pocket plenty. Now they move him a little bit. They'll boot him. They'll try to get him on the perimeter. But, I mean, there's plenty of times where he dropped back, where he drops back, where he's in the shotgun, where he has to read the defense and deliver the football. So, I mean, you evaluate that player for the position based on what he's going to be required to do. I think Michael's just unique. Just from a standpoint, there aren't too many players at that position, or really in any other position offensively, that possess his type of athleticism. So, I mean, he presents a lot of unique challenges to a defense. You know, and you certainly have to you'd have to count for him on every play. There's no question.
Nick, what made you think that Sterling Moore could be an option at safety? Was it just sort of, hey, this is all we have, or was there something you saw from him that indicated that switch might be able to be made?
Yeah, it was something we talked about last week, actually, on the call. But, you know, he had played some nickel corner during the preseason with the Raiders. Primarily played corner at SMU, but you know, has decent size. You know, has some playing strength. Fairly instinctive guy. You know, and there's been examples of players that have played corner that have made a transition or ended up playing safety. You know, like I mentioned last week. You know, Eugene Wilson. I'm not trying to say he's Eugene Wilson, but he'd never played safety before, but. You know, he's a pretty smart guy, pretty instinctive, could play the ball. So, you know, the biggest difference is you're just seeing a bigger part of the field when you're playing safety. You're reading more of a full field as opposed to maybe a half field or one side of the field when you're playing corner. So, you know, there were some things that he had done in practice, you know, in terms of playing the ball, covering players, because there's still a coverage component that's involved when you're playing safety. You know, if you're carrying a receiver vertically down the field, there's still a coverage element that's into play. That comes into play. So, you know, he's worked at it, and you know, I think there's things that he's learning every week, just in, with respect to that position. So, I mean, we'll take it week to week and see how it goes.
Tracy White hadn't played much defense last year, and I think he played a little sort of linebacker in the nickel when he was with the Eagles. But what did you see from him? That made you think he'd be able to play defense, or was it more of a situation like, well, you know, this guy's active, so he needs to be able to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think really the more that a player can do, it's certainly going to enhance his ability to play on game day. I think in Tracy's specific situation, I mean, he's very professional, very smart guy. He's an instinctive player. He's athletic. He runs well, which you can see in the kicking game. So, the skills that you see on special teams, to a degree, carry over into to some of the things that he's been asked to do defensively. But, you know, with all our players, I mean, we don't try to pigeonhole them and just try to limit them to one thing. I mean, we ask a lot of people around here to do a number of different things, and I think last night was a pretty good indication of that with Edelman playing defense, you know, and Tracy playing more defensively, playing in some of the nickel stuff. So, I mean, the more you can do, it's going to enhance your ability to play on Sunday. And, you know, it's a credit to Tracy specifically. I mean, he's been a pro's pro since he arrived here. You know, we're happy to have him on the team and glad he's here.